Fred Rogers sang "Won't You Be My Neighbor" to millions of children, but he wasn't just hosting a television show. He was building a spiritual community that would outlive him by decades. This soft-spoken Presbyterian minister, who looked more like someone's grandfather than a cultural revolutionary, spent 33 years quietly challenging everything our culture holds dear: speed over depth, productivity over presence, entertainment over authenticity. When Tom Hanks portrayed him in 2019, audiences didn't just feel nostalgia, they felt longing for something we've lost. The documentary about his life became one of the highest grossing ever made, not because people remembered a children's show, but because they recognized a prophet. What made this man in sneakers and a cardigan so magnetic? Beneath his gentle demeanor lived a philosophy so radical, it threatened the very foundations of modern life. His message wasn't complicated. Slow down, feel deeply, see the divine in everyone you meet. Simple words, but in practice, utterly revolutionary. Amy Hollingsworth's journey to understand Fred Rogers began with skepticism. Could anyone really be that genuine? Her young son's captivation with the show prompted her investigation into whether the man matched his television persona. What she discovered was even more surprising than authenticity. She found someone whose entire life had been an unlikely preparation for revolutionary work. Fred Rogers didn't plan to work in television. Horrified by what he saw as a music major encountering the new medium, especially children's programming, he pursued seminary with an audacious vision: ministry without church walls, reaching children through the very medium that appalled him. Like St. Francis of Assisi, Fred embodied virtue through quiet presence rather than proclamation. Initially hesitant to articulate his faith explicitly, a mother's passionate defense helped him recognize people needed to understand the deeper purpose anchoring his neighborhood. Fred's genius was translating profound spiritual concepts into language children could grasp, discussing death, divorce, or fear with remarkable grace. When Amy finally met Fred after defending him against criticism, she discovered his television warmth was merely a shadow of his in-person presence. What struck her most was his extraordinary capacity for complete attention. When Fred spoke with you, the rest of the world disappeared. His compliments weren't casual pleasantries, but thoughtful observations revealing genuine interest. Their correspondence continued until his death. Fred's transformative presence wasn't just a social skill, but the natural outgrowth of a contemplative life. In a world obsessed with speed, Fred Rogers championed slowing down. His deliberate pace wasn't stylistic preference, but philosophical statement. Emotional and spiritual growth require time for reflection. Against a culture compressing communication into tweets and prioritizing productivity over presence, Fred invited children and adults into a different rhythm, one honoring the slowness of authentic human connection. This approach proved practical. Studies showed his methodical pacing helped children develop patience, delayed gratification, and thoughtful response rather than impulsive reaction. Fred recognized that rushing prevents meaningful depth, and giving oneself authentically requires time. Though naturally calm, Fred's mastery of silence was cultivated through discipline. For him, silence transcended mere quiet. It was active meditation, creating space to reflect on surrounding goodness and cultivate gratitude. Most remarkably, he used television, a medium of constant stimulation, to convey silence's power, teaching patience and the value of waiting for life's quieter treasures. His patient demeanor taught the importance of time, especially in relationships, inviting others to recognize their worth through his full attention, a gift increasingly rare in our distracted age. The rhythmic rituals in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood mirrored Fred Rogers' prayer-centered life. Those who met him compared his presence to Mother Teresa, a quality of centered attention transcending ordinary interaction. For Fred, prayer wasn't about requests, but relationship, profound engagement with God permeating all aspects of life. He explained spiritual concepts to children using tangible symbols like pretzels, whose shape traditionally represented arms crossed in prayer. His commitment extended beyond private ritual into communal practice, like prayers interwoven with longtime friend Jim Stumble, demonstrating prayer as shared fortification. Fred often recalled childhood rituals, like toast sticks shared with neighbor Mama Belle, simple bread transformed through care and relationship. These weren't just memories, but metaphors for spiritual nourishment sustaining him throughout life. Fred's gift was recognizing transcendence in everyday moments and sharing them across generations. The most nourishing spiritual insights often come through simple moments, a shared meal, quiet conversation, genuine laughter. When a friend found meaning in a sermon Fred had dismissed, he realized the Holy Spirit mysteriously translates inadequate words into what each soul needs. This freed him from anxiety about explicit religious language. He simply created spaces for connection, trusting divine translation would occur beyond his conscious intention. Viewers like actress Lauren Toos discovered hope in episodes during personal crises, finding meaning Fred couldn't have anticipated. Fred's philosophy centered on recognizing everyone as neighbors deserving love. Drawing from the Good Samaritan parable, he practiced concrete acts of kindness toward his television audience. Seminary professor Dr. William Orr shaped this view, contrasting the accuser, who sees only the worst, with Jesus, who prompts us to see the divine within everyone. Fred believed in naming neighbors, recognizing their true identity. Echoing Madeleine L'Engle, he understood that knowing and naming others prevents spiritual alienation. His story about Junior, a broken person embodying Christ's presence, demonstrates the power of being seen and loved. Fred learned from Dr. Orr that forgiveness shatters evil's grip. He shared powerful examples, asking forgiveness in a nursing home and Cardinal Bernardin forgiving his false accuser, showing how evil cannot withstand forgiveness. Fred addressed practical challenges, like children's TV violence, encouraging them to exercise choice by turning off scary shows. He advocated sublimating anger through sports or art, teaching conflict resolution through songs like "What Do You Do with the Mad That You Feel?" Fred created a sanctuary where kindness thrived despite harsh realities, promoting peace and forgiveness as keys to restoring faith in neighbors' potential. His spiritual communication resembled tending soil, creating favorable conditions while leaving growth to higher forces. This humble recognition of his limited role, coupled with faith in the Spirit's translating work, allowed simple messages to reach profound needs. This offers an alternative to aggressive proselytizing and watered-down spirituality, suggesting that authentic expression offered with love creates space for the Spirit's work, honoring both communicator's integrity and receiver's autonomy. Fred demonstrated the revolutionary impact of being fully present with another person. This simple act requires no special training, yet how rarely we practice it. His life asks, when did you last give someone complete attention? What might change if you did? The invitation to slow down creates conditions for spiritual growth and authentic community. His reminder that meaningful life happens at human pace, not digital speed, feels increasingly prophetic. The practice of silence creates space for connection with those who've influenced us. Fred encouraged audiences to pause and reflect on cherished relationships, once prompting a security guard to recall his great uncle's lasting legacy. Fred Rogers viewed heaven not as distant, but as a lens shaping present reality. A painting from his father depicting reunion with Jesus, paired with Antoine de Saint-Exupéry's quote from The Little Prince, "What is essential is invisible to the eye," reminded him the neighborhood wasn't escapism, but a place where love overcomes fear. Fred treasured children's pure connection with God, a quality adults often lose. Through stories like The Little Prince, he taught adults to reclaim childlike wonder while encouraging children to trust their spiritual sensibilities. He believed departed loved ones continue supporting the living in mysterious ways, echoing Henri Nouwen's conviction that spirits of love enrich our lives beyond this world. When asked about his final broadcast message, Fred said he would instill in his audience the truth of their unique value and boundless love from their creator. By embracing this, one naturally sees their neighbor's intrinsic worth. In a world moving too fast and seeing too shallowly, Fred Rogers offers a quiet revolution, one cardigan and genuine moment at a time. The question isn't whether Fred Rogers was real, but whether we're brave enough to live the reality he showed us. You don't need theological training to create spiritual nourishment. The most profound spiritual gifts often come disguised as the simplest human connections.